So, as you see up here, what we're going to be talking tonight about is the grace of giving. And there is a very deliberate reason for this lesson. And I'm very excited to share tonight because I came back from the African Missions Association meeting that was this weekend, this last weekend in San Antonio, and I was fired up. I was very encouraged. But what I want to share with you is this is my Bible study. And I wanted to share with you some things that I realized that even though I've been around a long time, that you can get a little wonky. And you can get off base a little bit, and you kind of have to recalibrate and get yourself aligned with the Word of God. I don't know how that happens or why it happens. You can have convictions, you can believe something, and then you just don't act on it all the time. Does that make sense? And so, this is a very interesting phrase, the grace of giving. And you know, I've heard that many times, but what does it mean? You see, I started with myself because when I was at the AMA meeting, they said, and we're board members that attend there, we need to up our game. And what they were saying is us, the board members who are looking out for the interests of the churches in Africa and trying as hard as we can to figure out how to take those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000. But we can't. That's God's work. We are just doing the very best we can with what He provides to us, and He will multiply what we give. What I want to share with you is several of the things that I needed to up my game in the grace of giving. And so, let's talk about it. Because, quite frankly, we haven't done a whole lot of talking about giving. We announced that we have a special contribution that we're giving to missions. And it's a fact, and we are giving, and this is something that we have a return. This is something we do annually. I was thinking about it, and I believe my very first missions was when I was 21. Please don't do the math, but you can figure that I have been doing this a long time of giving to special contributions for church, for different places, for Africa for many years. And you can get into a rut and a routine, and you can do things because you do things. Does that make sense? You're just giving habitually. So that's me. That's some of us. But some of us, quite frankly, don't have a conviction about giving. And it's not from a bad heart. It's just something we've never sat down and looked at the Bible and said, what does the Bible say about giving? What is this grace of giving? Why should I give? How much should I give? When should I give? If you don't know those answers, I would suggest you study this out. So I went back and I did this all over again because, like I said, I needed a recalibration. And what I did is a word search. And I started with giving. And then I did contribution. And then I did tithe and tithes. You get the idea. And it is amazing how many verses there are about it. And we're only going to look at a couple of them tonight, but they're very thorough. So, this is very sensitive here. There. So, what is the grace of giving? The grace of giving is something that is God-given and made possible by Jesus Christ. So let me get a little clearer. And I like this quote that I found by James Ryle, and it says, "Grace is the empowering presence of God enabling you to be who He created you to be and to do what He has called you to do." It's grace that gives us the desire and the power that God gives us to do His will. And you know, think about it. We often think about the grace of God in the forgiveness of sins, and absolutely that is the case. But there's a lot of scriptures where that just doesn't make sense in that context. And giving is one where we'll get into the scriptures and you'll see, yes, this is a gift of God and it's enabling to me because I am in Christ. I am getting the power from God to do something He wants me to do. And that's exciting when you discover that the grace of God's at work within you. So let's look at this scripture, Romans 12, 6 through 8. It says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." Did you hear that? "If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Those are different gifts that come from the grace of God. And guess what? Those graces, if you will, those gifts of God, each one of us can put to work in our lives. We may have received those gifts in different measures, but we do have each of those gifts. Have you ever thought about that? Now, I've thought out in the negative, you know, giving's just not my gift. No, that would be blowing it away, right? That's not correct. I just said God gives us these gifts. They may be in different measures, but we all have the grace of giving through Jesus Christ. You see, we're expected to do all these things, but there's some things that God has especially enabled us to do. Did you ever think that? The grace of God at work in me, how is it at work? Which gifts are at work in me? Have you ever thought about it? It could be really exciting. Maybe you haven't really explored one of them. What if the grace of giving is your special gift? And you hadn't been trying it and missed the encouragement that could come from that. You see, these gifts, think of them as packages. You can unopen them and put them right to work. God's gift. I found that exciting. And we don't think about these things that way too often. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read these in parts. And we're just going to break this down tonight, okay? So, it might help if I have the scriptures open to me right here. "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than what we had hoped, for their first reaction was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. There's a lot here. First of all, I want you to ask this question of yourself. Who is Paul talking to? He's talking to the Corinthians, but who is he talking about? The Macedonians. Why would he be talking to the Corinthians about what the Macedonians are doing? Let's just set that aside for a minute, and we'll see. You see, Paul tells, and listen to how he phrases this. This is why it's the grace of giving. He says that God in his kindness has been doing things through Macedonia. God in his kindness. Because it's a gift. He's enabling the Macedonians to do something. Because if you look at this, it makes no sense that they're able to do something because they have many troubles and they are very poor. But they're full of joy. Wait a minute. Many troubles, very poor, full of joy. That only happens through God. Only the grace of God at work in our lives allows us to be full of joy when we're poor and we have many troubles. And what did they do? That overflowed in expressions that were rich in generosity. They may have been poor, but they gave generously. And they desired it. They considered it a privilege. Let me do this. I know you think I'm too poor to do this. Give me a chance. Let me do something. What can I do? Was the heart. That's so powerful. Do you feel that way? That is the question. They begged us again and again for the gift of sharing. The privilege of sharing and gift giving. They gave themselves to God first. You see, so often when we're thinking about our money, we are giving to ourselves first. And our needs and our concerns and our anxieties and our worries. And then what God wants to do with our grace of giving is last. And we scrunch it. Let's move on. I'm just making sure this is actually flipping for me here. So, we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious gift of giving. I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. I don't know about you, but this was very convicting to me. You see, he says, you excel in many things. You guys do great things. It's time to excel in the gift of giving as well. Remember, we have many gifts. We need to unpack them all. We need to put them to use. Giving generously is a gift that you can use and excel at doing so. He emphasizes, I'm not commanding you to do this, That would be wrong. Give your money. Give it now. Give this much. No, that would not be from the gift, the gracious gift of giving. He says he's doing it to test the genuineness of their love. Giving comes from love. We give because we love. We give because we love God. We give because God loves us. We give because we love each other. That's what enables us to be joyful. That is what enables us to give enthusiastically. Put your love to work. Let's move on. So you're already there, verses 10 through 14. I'll catch up here. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. Get myself out filed here. So as you look at this verse, these verses, Paul, once again, is comparing two churches. He mentioned the Macedonians to the Corinthians to show how they reacted to him telling the Macedonians about the Corinthians. You see how he's doing that? So he went to Macedonia and said, you know, Corinth is going to give. They're going to take care of the brothers in Jerusalem. And the Macedonians go, oh, we want to also. Oh, we're going to do this. And they get excited and they give a lot, even out of their poverty. So he comes back to the Corinth and he writes to them and he goes, hey, guys, you said you were going to do this. We need to do it. It's time. Be ready. It'll be really embarrassing if I brag to all these guys and you're not ready. So he said, you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning end in your giving. It makes sense, right? So he says, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help. And I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I am sending these brothers to be sure you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed. Not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, and not one given grudgingly. So he completes this story, how this all began. But then he gives some advice. Guys, to give, you have to prepare. You can't just go, oh, tomorrow's the last day. What am I going to do? How much do I have? Maybe I could do this. I'm not sure. When's rent due? That's not how you give. Giving, you prepare. You think about. You pray about. You figure, what can I do? I'm going to get ready in advance. I'm going to carefully consider the most I can possibly give. I want to be generous. You see the difference? The other one, you know it's coming, and you hear the announcements, and I'm working towards it. You are able to be more generous, and then you don't feel like, oh, it didn't work out the way I wanted to. Oh, we didn't make our number. Oh, it's not the same. But when day by day you're praying about something, when you're thinking about it, you're setting it aside and you see that pot grow, when you've made a plan and then you've done a whole year, then all of a sudden, when that time comes, yes, I'm ready. And when you write that check, it's exciting because you're prepared and it's the right amount. It's the, you have really considered what you're doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't just pop off at the last moment. That won't work. And this is the advice he's giving to them. So what does he then say? He says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. I heard a promise here. The promise is, if you are generous, you will have what you need. God will deal generously with you. And the example here is that He is the one who provides the seeds. He's the one who gives the seeds for the farmer. And guess what? He's the one that lets the crops come up. He's the one you get the bread from. He's the one who's giving it all to you. He can provide for you. You don't have to be afraid to be generous. This is a test of God. Is He really the one you can trust and believe in to do this? His word says so. Have you put Him to the test in this? God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I have heavy fingers, evidently. Here we go. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers who prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. This is powerful stuff. He finishes his thought in this section of Scripture saying, you will be enriched in every way. Is it true or false? So that you can always be generous. When you're giving eagerly, generously, from your means, when you're thinking and preparing, yes, God will provide. Because you're not trying to be selfish. You're not trying to enrich yourself. You're not trying to spend all you have on yourself. You are experiencing the grace of giving. And what happens when you do this? There are tangible things when you actually give. And he mentions two things right here. They are: the needs of the people you're giving to will be met. That's exciting. They will thank God. They will be grateful. And then additionally to that, it says they will glorify God. God is glorified when we, you see, he's enabling us to do this. He is glorifying himself through us. Your generosity will prove you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. When you give generously, you're being obedient. Did you ever think that? When I give generously, I am showing that the gospel, the good news, has had an effect on me and my thinking and my choices and how I act. And that's more validation. That I am in Christ. So he says, thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. What gift is that? What's the gift? Giving. Giving itself is a gift from God. The grace of giving. I hope this has made sense. So, we have this grace of giving. Let's talk about what we're giving to. Boy, this is popping all over for me. First of all, we have been supporting the work in Africa for a long time, and I thought it might be good to give you an idea about Africa. Who's been to Africa? Raise your hand. All right. All right, I know some of you are native Africans, so that doesn't count. So. Not many. And that's my point. There's not many. There are 54 countries in Africa, 1.2 billion people. And yet, with 1.2 billion people, the median age is less than 20. That is the effect of two things: AIDS, disease, poverty, war, and a population explosion. You put it all kind of together, you have a population that skews very young. There are between 1,250 and 2,100 languages natively spoken. That's before any Europeans or Americans or Chinese head over there. We're talking about their own native languages. That's crazy to me. And yet, the average African makes less than $1,500 American annually. I was looking at something that had the bottom 10 in Africa. I think the lowest one was less than $600 annually. That was frightening to me. In Africa, we have 93 churches located in 38 countries. There are 12,794 disciples. Last year, there were over 1,000 souls saved. What are those souls worth? In the past, we've supported many needs. We've helped to build a school in Kenya. We have helped build a building in Cote d'Ivoire, which I've been to 4 times, one with Roxanne. And I wish I could share with you the joy that they have of meeting in a building and not having to continually pay for that. Think about it. If you have a major expense of staff in a building and your congregation makes what I'm talking about, you have struggles, don't you? And so the way we have helped in the past is we've helped with either paying for staff or paying for infrastructure so that they can continue to grow and do the work. So what we have started doing since Steve has come is we have taken on Zambia. And I'm very excited about that. And let me tell you a little bit about Zambia. I've never been. But I'm pleased to know that English is their official language. I didn't know French when I went to West Africa, and that was very tough for me. But it was also exciting. There are over 15 million people in Zambia. The capital is Lusaka, and that's where the church is located. The per capita income in Zambia is $1,230 annually. These are probably old figures, Steve. I took them from 2016, and there's variances in this, but there's around 154 disciples. According to the records, there is 10 additions, whether it was restorations, baptisms, combinations, whatever. That's what happened in 2016. But we've made a commitment. And our commitment to Zambia is that we're going to support the women's ministry by paying the salary of the woman leader, which I'll introduce to you in just a moment. And we are really trying to help them be successful in having a complete staff in that way. I am going to have to do something different. Can you see that okay? I know it's kind of hard. I want to encourage you to try something. Is that we have they have a Facebook page. And you can see these pictures and you can see people there. And I encourage you to explore it. But this is a picture of them. They were literally having a tent meeting. This isn't where they meet, but this was a tent meeting. That's my understanding, right? This is where they meet. Oh, okay. Awesome. Did everyone hear that? This is where they meet. And the land was donated to them, so they were renting before the other place that I saw. Okay. So there were other pictures I was seeing of building, but they were renting that. This land has been donated. Can you see it a little bit better now? So it's a good crew, and they look like they're having a good time. This is their evangelist, Twambo Chikoye. I don't know how old this picture is. He looks very young, doesn't he? This is current. He is a very young man. So this event that he was in, and guys, I lifted this right off his Facebook page, don't hate. But, you know, I just chose, he was very dressed up. They were celebrating a birthday for someone, and it was a very formal event. Oh.
Greetings from Lusaka, Zambia. My name is Yvonne Mohabi from South Africa. I came to Lusaka 2 months ago to work with the women in the church under the leadership of Twambo Chikoi. The women's ministry is divided into married, mamas, singles, youth and family, campus and singles. My vision really is to see a lot of young women being converted and to also see Zambian women go into the full-time ministry. I also would like to take this opportunity to thank you so much for your continual support for us here in Lusaka. Your giving has made it possible for me to be here, and I am extremely grateful for that. I'm looking forward to see, you know, some of you or all of you, you know, when I come to Atlanta. I love you all, and thank you so much.
So by introduction, if you couldn't hear it correctly, your name's Yvonne Mohabi, and I probably said that wrong. All right. I'm good enough. I'll accept that. So I wanted to show you a few pictures. This is what was going on inside the tent, worshiping. These are some teens. These three were baptized on the same day. And they were having some fun. These are campus, and so these guys, I lifted this out of their the church's Facebook page. So this is campus, just different pictures of them having fun. Now this blurry one is the singles, but if you can't see it too well, they're dancing, okay? So they're having some fun. So where I want to end tonight is this. We have been talking about the grace of giving, and the question is, what can we do? The first thing that I want to point out is that we must pray. This is one of the things that I got a conviction of, that I must up my game. Here I am, a board member on the AMA, and I don't pray every day for Africa. And I was like, what am I thinking? I hate to even say that. But guys, have you been praying every day for our missions? Have we been praying for Zambia? For Twambo? For Yvonne? Let's start. If you haven't, just commit to get down there. We're praying for our local churches within the area. We're sending money on our special contribution to Zambia. And we support Africa. Do you understand that they wouldn't have half their staff if we weren't helping them? Pray about having the grace of giving. Pray about it. This is where I'm starting. You know, like I said, to up your game, you start looking at stuff, you investigate, and you evaluate, where am I right here in my heart? And once you evaluate where you are, then you go, well, what do I need to do? And there are actionable steps to do to get your heart to a different place. We need to give. We made a promise. We made a promise to them, we're going to take care of this for you. And we need to follow through. And guys, we are making great strides in our giving, but we have not even risen yet in our missions collected to the point of covering what we said we would do. And I'm concerned. This has not happened to us before. We need the grace of giving. Think about what you can do and act. You see, earlier I was talking about, this isn't something that you just show up on the last day and you throw something that's some, I got a little, here it is, I got some extra change. I didn't spend this morning at Dunkin' Donuts. That's not the approach. But sometimes we do that when it comes to giving. with our regular contribution. You know, this isn't just for missions. I'm talking about giving. We need to give eagerly, joyfully, cheerfully, and generously. And if you're not there yet, that's that thinking, that coming to conviction. Get that word search out and start looking at the scriptures to get your mind and heart right. We are privileged to have the gift, the grace of giving. Amen? That's it. Thank you.